He is. Emma Burge, would you come now and remind us again in song how many different ways and times God can and will deliver us.
James chapter 5. Well, we survived the Super Bowl and the halftime show because I didn't watch it. And we survived the impeachment. What else did we survive? The monsoons outside. Josh Clayton wanted to have a business meeting tonight to vote to transport our church building to a different state where it's warmer. And everybody with it. Okay. Can I have a motion? Okay. Where are we going? All right. You know, sometimes people get so stressed out about the things that don't matter at all, right? Like, I get stressed out when my dog doesn't like to stay where he's supposed to be while we're gone. You know, but God's got it all under control. As we get into this tonight, I'm going to talk about faith and integrity. And the reason why this is so important is because some of the things that I stated earlier, if you were to describe those things, you would say there's not much integrity at all. I'm glad that we don't have the people who sing the halftime show up here for special music. Because that didn't help anybody. And anybody that kneels for the anthem, we don't need that in front of anybody. We don't take those as the examples that we need, correct? And whether somebody uses 15 gold pens on silver platters, you know what? God still wins. He still rules. And America's just going to have to get an understanding that those people that they look to control their lives is not the ones that they should be looking to. It should be God. It should be God. And faith and integrity, I wonder if the people look to the church, tried to find integrity and truth, would they find it? Because if you expand all over the world today, I mean, the word church is very loosely used, isn't it? And the word Christian is very loosely used. I was preaching at FBCA for their chapel this past week, and it was the first time that I preached out there since the vandalism that happened. And if you didn't hear about that, it's probably better for you. But anyway, I said, you know, the one thing that really hurt me was as you look across social media and one person responds and says, and that's why we need prayer in schools. Because two Christian school students decided to break into their own school and steal stuff. You're thinking, just lost another one. Just lost another opportunity. So how serious is this? I mean, this is very, very serious. As even as pastor stated today, you know, if they know you as one person here in church, but yet know you as somebody totally different because here you are covering up certain things in your life and excusing certain things in your life, I mean, what kind of integrity truly is that when we claim Christianity? As we look at this simple verse here tonight, I would ask that you read it with me. In James chapter 5 and verse 12, please read it. It should be up on the screen in case you wanted to read it there. It starts there. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. James 5:12. Saying one verse. We should be out here in 5 minutes. Go ahead and threaten me like that. Okay. All right. As we get into this, I mean, you talk about the tongue, and we know that James has pressed this issue many times throughout James. He's talked about the tongue. Chapter 3 is about the tongue and how it can destroy just like fire. You can, it's like it can control the body as a A bridle controls the horse as the rudder controls the ship. And as he states in James chapter 1 and verse 26, it states there, if any man among you seem to be religious. Remember that? We were outside and I spent a whole lot of time on seem to be and the defining of that. And then everybody kept coming up to me afterwards and saying, it seems to be a... None of you remember that. You slept since then? All right. But if any of you seem to be religious, you're trying to play the part, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Whoa. Okay, so the tongue is pretty important, correct? Okay, if you can't control your mouth, if you can't control what comes out of your mouth, then and you're trying to be this religious person, what do they call them back in the day? The holy rollers? Whatever it, the holier than thou, you know, that type of a deal. And they're coming out and they're trying to present themselves as this stuck up religious person, basically. And they're going out and they're speaking in a totally different fashion. They're not resembling Christ in any way with their tongue. Just trying to claim the title. Just trying to claim the title. Says his religion is in vain. All that hard work to be fake is in vain. Now, I don't know about you, but at the end of my life, when my funeral comes, by the way, don't allow my wife to spend any money on my funeral, okay? Just cremate me and be done. Sing a few songs. Celebrate. I'm not here, okay? All right? Booyah! I will not be here. And I'm just thinking about that. And just like the last couple of days, I mean, you mourn for somebody, but man, I am so glad that Betty Smith is in heaven. No pain. I mean, this lady, I mean, she's as stubborn as all get out. I'm going to tell you what. And I told her that to her face, so don't even count that as gossip. I mean, she's probably 85 pounds soaking wet, filled with peanut butter. I mean, she's just a thin, small little lady, and she shuffled with her feet kind of sideways because she had so bad arthritis. I mean, her bones were just brittle, and she had had several surgeries from falling previously. And her body just could not take this last fall. I mean, they said that it sounded as she crashed on the tile, it sounded like broken glass. And just thinking, whoa. And I just hurt for the church and I hurt for Lee. But then I just keep thinking, man, oh man. She's in heaven, pain-free, seeing the face of Jesus. What an amazing day. But you know, when I stand before him, I hope that all the work that I put myself to was worth it. I hope that the work that I put out there isn't the wood, hay, and stubble that gets burned up. You know what I mean? Because we can get so distracted by the wood, hay, and stubble in our lives, and it's not worth tossing that before Jesus' feet. I don't want to be this person that can't bridle their tongue. This is a failed test. James is full of tests, test after test. If you want to see your faith in action, and one of those things, as you face those tests, is your tongue. If your tongue is failing to resemble Jesus Christ and how it works itself out in your life, how it controls your body. I mean, this is not something that, you know, there's some sort of possession within me, okay? I can't just go around and say, well, it's the tongue's fault. That's me. That's my flesh coming out. I can't excuse that. I can't cover that up. That is something that I have to be looking out for. And as you face this, James actually points at it and he brings it, he kind of separates it from the previous verses. If you remember what we were talking about previously, we're talking about the rich man who needs to respond and weeping and howling because of what is coming to him or her, because of how they selfishly lived their lives and how the righteous weren't turning against them, but were just praying to God and God would hear that, and how we need to be eternally focused. How we need to be seeing the character of God and embracing that and seeing the examples in front of us. And then all of a sudden he comes into this verse and it changes up. There's a little bit of a change up in here. And it's almost like he's going to throw a few commands at us really quick here in the last part of this passage. And as we see this, he focuses on the integrity of a Christian. Of one who claims God to be a follower of God, a child of God. You must have integrity. So, purpose statement, faith in action is shown through the integrity of a believer. That's how it's shown. Through the integrity of a believer. So first of all, we're going to look at this first point, understand the distinction. As you see the first couple of words here in this verse, it says, "But above all things, my brethren." I mean, he's making a distinction here, and this is what we have to understand, that "but" is separating that, and he's saying, listen, this is what I really want you to focus on. If you're just going to get one thing out of this, please focus on this. Your integrity is very important. As people are watching you and is seeing that you're being persecuted and you're scattered all over the world, okay? Whatever it might be. I mean, if you're thinking about it, as Christians are scattered all over the world today, listen, your integrity is worth so much, because the moment that somebody can't trust you, listen, we are the ambassadors. We're the witnesses. We are who God chooses to give the gospel to others. And if they cannot trust us, what next? One day I was listening to the radio and here's another Catholic priest scandal. And something that was stated there. See, this is the crazy thing. We may be a different denomination, but we get grouped in with everybody. This is the crazy thing. I mean, when Joel Osteen says something on the news, we get grouped into that. Because he claims Christianity. But when a Catholic priest sexually molests someone, guess what happens? This is what was stated. Well, you can't go to the church for help anymore. That's what I heard over the radio. I'm thinking, not again. Not again. I mean, it is our integrity that is so important. He's saying, but above all things, my brethren, get this point. And he's pointing out, he's saying, I am speaking to the Christians here. I am relating to you here. We are in the same. I have to deal with this just like you do. We are family. We are in this together. Come in and understand. This is not a domineering position. And this is why I struggle with being on this stage, okay? All right? Because sometimes I feel like I am pointing down at you. But that's really not what I'm trying to do here. I am on the same level as you. This is what James is trying to point out here. My brothers, my sisters in Christ. We have to have integrity. If we lose our name, the one that truly isn't our name to begin with, we are stewarding this name. We have been adopted. What a blessing. I get to be a child of God and get to be a part of that inheritance, and I must live that out. So, brothers and sisters, let's do this together. Focus on this, and just in the sense of, okay, this is something distinct in the sense of, listen, okay, I named off a few of the things in the very beginning. Listen, when you have an unsaved politician that promises you things and doesn't follow through, duh. When you have people that don't claim the name of God and lie to you to get something that they want, duh. I mean, isn't it expected of an unbeliever to act like an unbeliever? And we get so angry. How dare they? They're just doing what Satan wants them to do. But the distinction here is, hey, we are different because of Jesus. We claim a different name. We are called to something totally different. And again, as Pastor stated this morning, if we want to cover that up and cover up our sins just to excuse, well, this is who I am, and this is what I brought up to be, and this is the way I grew up. And I mean, the excuses go off and on, and here we go. We've got a reason to be a victim for everything, right? And this is, oh, and that's why I said earlier, we can't blame it on the tongue. We got to blame it on ourselves. Well, my tongue did it. I can't control my tongue. Really? And yet we justify some of these things to cover it up, and here it, we got to come back to the fact that this is the day that the Lord has made. And we better act like it. He's in control. And if he's all authority and he's made us, and by him all things consist, and it's all for his purpose and his glory, then we got to throw the excuses away, and we got to understand this distinction, and he's calling us to this here. But above all things, my brothers and sisters, point number two, understand the restriction and instruction in oaths. And the next part of this verse might get a little bit confusing. And it says here, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. And he's saying, so we can't make any oaths anymore. We can't make any contracts. We can't make any promises in this sense. And this is what it's calling us to, right? We can't have any more oaths. He says, nor any other oath. And what is he trying to tell us here? Because as you go back into the Word of God, you see that there's oaths made all the time. I mean, Abraham, he made an oath with his servant. What? To go and find a wife for his son. Don't you see that? And it worked out in scriptures. There was other oaths that were made. And all throughout, promises that were made. And so this isn't something that is contradicting the Word of God in any way. But what he's talking about is that the Jewish people actually had this complex system of oaths. And to be honest, I really couldn't explain it to the deepest depths, but I'll tell you what it went to. You know how we set certain things up to protect ourselves, and then all of a sudden we forget why we had them, and then we just make an excuse to get out of them? And what they would do is they'd go in and they'd make this oath in order to fulfill this promise and to prove that they would fulfill that promise. And so they would make that and they'd do this and they'd do that. Well, then all of a sudden they got this idea in their head that said, well, I can't make an oath that's based on God because otherwise I could be punished really bad. So I'm going to make an oath on all these other things. And because they weren't on God, then that means, well, you know what? God is forever, but that might not be forever. And so then I could just kind of say, well, it was broken. The oath was, it wasn't like up to God's level. And so then they justify themselves out of the oath. They would make levels on their oaths, on their integrity, on their promises. Kind of like the way we put levels on sins. There's respectable sins, and then there's not respectable sins. They got distracted. And it's just like what we do with everything, isn't it? I mean, when you're given a law, all of a sudden, you're just trying to figure out how close you can get to it, or making other laws just to see, or just to prove how good you are versus everybody else, right? There's always a distraction. There's always a misunderstanding. There's always us being selfish and trying to control everything in this situation. And he's saying here, listen, we need to understand this restriction of what's going on here. Don't be making this oath by heaven or by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay. Now, you find in a couple of passages here, and I wanted to give these to you, that way you could see a little bit of context within Old Testament and New Testament. Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, it says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. So here it is, even God saying, listen, you're going to do, whether you do it by God or whether you do it by any other thing, listen, you need to own up to your oath. But you go off into Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33 through 37. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Oh, this almost sounds like James, but there's a little extra that we're getting here. Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. You say, well, I just got just for men. Okay, that didn't make your, it just covered it. You just painted it. That's all you did. You don't have control. My wife points out all the white hairs that I have, and then she tries to pluck them to make me look younger so she could be proud of me. Well, we can't control that. What's it say in the last verse? But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. If you're going to add to your word, if you're going to change it, this is wrong. And he's saying, listen, if you're going to go off, and here's the restriction, don't go off and see is this oath is any better than that oath. And, well, because this is my oath by God, then I can't break that one, but I can break this one over here. He's saying, listen, if you're going to say yes, make sure you're being honest about it. If you're going to say no, be honest. Why do you have to add anything to it? Because listen, God owns everything. And you're bringing his name into it, whether you're saying it's by heaven or by earth. Because heaven is where his throne is, and earth is where his footstool is. And if you want to talk about by Jerusalem, then that's the city of the great king. And if you want to talk about, well, the hairs of my head and my body, and I'm going to swear by that. Listen, When did you ever have control of your body in the sense of, well, I would like for me to get out of bed and not have any pain today? Has anybody would like to, like, you know, have this, some hair stop growing and some hair start growing, you know? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, man, why is my nose always itching, right? I didn't think that was going to happen to me. You know, when people told me don't get old, well, I figured I would try as hard as I possibly could to not get old. The more that they tell me, the more it's not going to happen, correct? I mean, I'm trying. I'm closing my eyes. I don't want to get old. I don't want to get old. It's like, you know, I clap the back of my dress shoes together and all of a sudden I'm not going to get old. I'm not going to get old. Listen, it just doesn't change anything. I'm God's. And if God wants my body to allow my body to break down in some fashion, in some way, I was racing my daughter last week. And all of a sudden, I only went like 50 feet. And you're saying, what are you complaining about? You're not even 30 yet. I'm almost there. But I was racing her. She says, I'm going to beat you. Well, she got a head start. I'm like, cheater. And I'm the one, I'm the dad that doesn't allow his daughter to win, okay? This ain't no church league. Back off. I am the winner. I rule my house. Yeah, right? Good luck. Anyway, she starts going. And all of a sudden, I chase her down. Listen, I won that race, but I was in so much pain. I don't know how I pulled all these muscles in here, but they hurt so bad, and I couldn't get full range of motion. Has anybody ever been there before? I'm like, oh, and everybody's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I just ran. Don't get old. Like it's going to help them, you know? It's just like, we don't have control over this. God does. God's in charge. So here we're trying to control things, make things go our way by the oaths that we put out there. I mean, you've heard them before, right? Haven't you? Well, on my mother's grave. So I was that, cross my heart, hope to die, put a needle in my eye. Have you ever heard that one? I think that was outlawed by everybody's safe space. I think my mom heard that one time. She's like, what are you saying? Well, I'm just trying to promise somebody. So if I fail in the promise, then I'm going to poke my eye with a needle. That's healthy. I guess you'll start keeping your promises, huh? But as you see that, he said, why do we have to add things to our speech? If we're going to promise something, shouldn't we follow through? Is this a problem for Christians? Why do you think we have so many arguments within the Christians? So many divisions. Why do you think we have a covenant as a church body? I will commit to be everything that I can be for the good of my church and for the glory of God. Simplified. I'll commit to the financial help of our church, for the teaching of my own children and also for those that are others. I mean, I want to strive to keep away from sin. I want to strive to keep away from addictions and all of that. And I want to pursue one another. And I will honor God's word in being involved in church discipline and all these things. Do you remember signing that? I wonder how much we break that. You know, becoming a member of Grace Baptist Church means something. I'm a part of something. This isn't something fake where, yeah, there's 1,000 people on the roster, but only 200 show up. I would be so ashamed, wouldn't you? We have so many that's committed to this church, and yet, where's the commitment level? They can't even show up. They can't even commit. They can't even come together. They can't even be a part of it. They can't show strength when things do go wrong. Because do things ever go wrong in a church? Maybe we should pull out our church covenant tonight when you get home. You say, I don't know where it is. It's collected with all of my other bulletins that I keep boxed up somewhere. Yeah. Maybe you can go online and look at the church covenant and see what it says and see what you've committed to as a member of Grace Baptist Church. And you say, well, that's why I don't become a member of Grace Baptist Church. So you're scared of commitment and what God's called you to do. If there's anything extra that we've put into the church covenant, by all means, come and tell us. By all means. One guy, he would not become a member up north because he believed that the church constitution and covenant was all extra biblical. It was all outside of the Bible. I said, have you read it? No. Read it. Everything has a passage behind it. That's why we commit to it. This is our group of beliefs that we commit to, that we hold on to. This is what we strive for to push on to others. I mean, this is what we commit to. Listen, we should never strive to be crossing our fingers behind our back when we make a promise. Never. You say that's so immature. Yes, it is. It shows, reveals our faith. As you get into this, think about these questions. As we have been called to truth, are we inconsistent in our speech? Do we exaggerate or allow others to exaggerate for us? Do we live on technicalities? Do we stay truthful to our husbands or wives? Do we live the life we expect our children to live? Man, isn't that one of the hardest things? I want you to do right. I want you to live right. I want you to live for God. And then you look at your own self and you think, my, how I fall short. Our children must never see a different person transition from church to home. And that's a realization that we must understand. Our grandchildren. The other children in our church that come are teenagers. They must see consistency along our lives as we speak. Because we've made commitments. Do we fulfill our promises? And I would like to add this. Our financial promises. I'm coordinating a financial peace university class. And a lot of people would think that's a waste of time. Why would you pay money for something when you're trying to get out of money problems? Listen, I have always realized that when I commit and put some skin in the game, I do much better. And there are so many resources there to help. But I also understand that as a Christian, I can also struggle with finances. Anybody want to be transparent and put your hand out like, I understand that? Mm-hmm, yeah. I've been there. Got the t-shirt, won the contest. Well, you can get 10% off on this. Don't do it. Why? Because you forget. And then you don't pay your bill. Or you let it rack up so high, the collectors come knocking. They say, well, I can afford this payment and I can afford that payment. This is that one of the main reasons why this verse is put in here is because we need to honor our oaths. Most oaths are made financially, aren't they? Listen, I expect my payment, my paycheck to come in every week, and if it doesn't, I'm going to be struggling. Anybody else there? I mean, you know how many after the GM rights, the GM strikes, you know how many people were in getting help the next week when they're making 20, 25 bucks an hour with full benefits? Some of the best jobs in that area, some of the highest paying jobs in that area, and then next week they were there for help because they couldn't afford their payments. They couldn't put food on the table. Listen, we get upset when that paycheck doesn't come in, but how come when we make promises to give a paycheck to someone else, we don't own up to that? I wonder who's going without food that week. I wonder who's worried, who's having marriage problems because their check didn't come in. They're worried about it. I say, man, we just need to be above board in our integrity at all times. Have some financial peace because it's not my money to see how many payments I can fit into that paycheck. It is God's money that he allows to use for his glory. To be able to be open to give to those who are in need, to be a part of this ministry, to be able to be not always running around, I don't know if I can do this, I don't know if I can do this, but like, man, God has provided for me, and wow, he's just taking care of it, and oh man, I am overflowing with the goodness of God because I am in the top 1% of the world. Well, a pastor is in the top 1% of the world. Yeah, they always talk about those 1%ers. We're it. I mean, we're at the top. We're the ones that are receiving the most material blessing, if you want to say. What are Christians doing with that? We need to always watch what we give ourselves to. Always need to watch. Do we have these short promises knowing there is no practical way of following through? Oh, I have a desire to do so many things, don't you? And I always am catching myself and saying yes to a lot of things that I know that I cannot do. You ever notice that? So, oh yeah, I want to be there, and I want to be there, and I want to be there. And then I realize that I have a family. And I say, I can't be there, sorry, I can't be there, sorry. I find myself saying sorry to a lot of things. Can people trust us? James 1:18, it says there, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are born out of truth. And as we get into this last point, wrapping it up, understand the motivation. You say, what is the motivation for this? It says, lest ye fall into condemnation. And you say, where's this coming from? Well, is this God's chastening on me as a Christian? Is it his moving me and helping me to grow when I fall into this kind of punishment? Well, it could be. But when you really think about it, if we're failing a test and it's revealing our hearts And we have this pattern of failing this test, and we're not passing it. It could be chastening, but it could be the matter that I'm not a child of God. Have we ever thought about it that way? I mean, it could be either or. To the point, if I have no desire to have integrity, where does my heart align? That's a question that we need to face here tonight, and where my integrity is. But another motivation that's not found in that scripture, but it's found all throughout James, is the fact that our Heavenly Father is the Father of lights, who gives every good and perfect gift. He gives us what we need in order to live a life of integrity, doesn't he? He gives us what we need. Not all that we want, but all that we need. Sometimes he gives us what we want. Sometimes he allows those blessings to come into our life, but yet he gives us enough. Do we understand that? And are we stewarding that? And stewarding his name by living up to his integrity? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've done, and again, what you will do. And Lord, there's great motivation behind this and why we do what we do, but Lord, just help us to back up and really check our integrity. Let's strive. God, maybe we've messed up bad. We want to make it right. You are the Father of light that gives every good and perfect gift. We ask that you would give the grace and the mercy enable for us to be able to gain back our integrity. I ask that you would give us the strength not to sit down and pout about all the things that we've done wrong, but to understand that we have done wrong and we must get right by repentance. And God, help us to do that. Give us that strength. Give us the understanding. Give us the wisdom in order to do so. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's realized that they just might not be saved, they need a new name written down in glory. And they say, yes, it's mine. I know it's mine. God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads back.